Today on Annenberg Radio News.
I have old men come in here and cry, like, oh, I met my third wife on this game. Or
what would make a grown man cry? And here's a hint. Think back to those times you didn't have enough quarters to play your favorite arcade game. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, October 23rd, 2012. I'm Josh Wu. Several groups are launching an effort to help the survivors of a horrifying attack on an Inglewood family. Molly Gray has the latest on the Saturday shooting.
In the pre-dawn hours of Saturday morning, a man broke into the Lamas Jimenez home on West 99th Street in Inglewood. He then opened fire on the family of six. Philemon Lamas and his four-year-old son both died as a result of the attack.
God wanted him in heaven, and we know God needed him.
That was Lamas's sister, Emma Lome, who says she's still in shock over what happened. Lamas's wife, Gloria Jimenez, and two other children were also shot. They remain in stable condition. Only an 8-year-old boy who hid under his covers was not hurt. Investigators are working to confirm the identity of a body found in a burned-down bungalow behind the family home. The bungalow was being rented by Desmond John Moses, who police believe to be the shooter. The Lamas family says Moses was upset over being evicted from the home, and he may have blamed Philemon. An autopsy is expected to conclude early this week. Meanwhile, community leaders and police have begun raising money for the family with two separate funds.
Seeing all this, I'm happy for my brother because I know he deserves it. I know he was a hero, and I'm imagining how he felt when this guy came in. How his body felt and not being able to help his family.
Civil rights activist Earl Ofari Hutchinson is helping the family cope with the aftermath of the tragedy.
Anytime you have this kind of violence, any kind of time you have this kind of tragedy that affects a whole family and children, it is nothing but a monumental tragedy.
Additionally, Doors to Heaven Global Ministries on Manchester Boulevard in Inglewood is offering prayer and counseling services to the family and community members. Another of Lamas's sisters, Carmen Hernandez, says the children are the family's top priority.
We're a big family, so there is a lot of nephews in there around, so they're playing most of the time, and so I think that helps them a lot.
Donations can be made at the ICE Federal Credit Union at Inglewood City Hall or the Hawthorne Wells Fargo branch on Hawthorne Boulevard. Molly Gray, Annenberg Radio News.
And you can find out more information on how to donate on our website, annenbergradio.org. The County Board of Supervisors found out today it can legally establish a third party to watch over county jails. That ruling comes from County Counsel John Cratley. A Citizens Commission recommended appointing an independent commissioner or inspector general to oversee the jails after charges of inmate abuse surfaced. The commission discovered that Sheriff Lee Baca failed to respond to violence until negative publicity forced him to take action. Cratley says independent oversight would be most effective only if it had the full cooperation of the sheriff. Governor Brown came to Southern California again today to stump for Proposition 30. The measure would temporarily increase the sales tax in California and raise the income tax on those earning more than $250,000 a year.
Look, this is really critical. Proposition 30, this is not just an ordinary measure. This is a matter of deep, deep importance to the students, the kids, and the families of California.
Brown appeared with Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa at Animo Leadership Charter High in Inglewood. The governor says Prop 30 would ensure that students get the education they deserve.
We know if yes prevails, billions of dollars go into the schools. If no prevails, billions of dollars come out of the schools.
Opponents say that because the money will go into the general fund, there's no guarantee it will be used for education. Proposition 35 expands the definition of sex trafficking and imposes harsher sentences on offenders. 35 is expected to pass in the November election because most people agree that cracking down on human trafficking is a good thing. But as Phoebe Unterman reports, some people don't like the proposed law.
Proposition 35 more than doubles maximum sentences for human sex traffickers. Sex trafficking is a multi-billion dollar industry in the United States and affects children as young as 12 years old. The FBI says three of the nation's highest child sex trafficking areas are in California. Some say this is because existing California laws aren't strong enough. Many law enforcement officials support the proposed legislation. Tom Dominguez is president of the Orange County Deputy Sheriff's Association.
Relative to what the current sentences and penalties are, I think this is a vast improvement.
But others point out holes they say would make the law ineffective. Norma Jean Almodovar is an author, a former LAPD officer, and a former sex worker. Her main concern is the language of the law. Almodovar says it's so broad it could deem a prostitute's landlord a sex trafficker if they accept rent money that was earned in the sex trade. But Dominguez says that wouldn't happen under the proposed law.
That characterization and the example that she gives are not accurate. That is a stretch.
Another argument against the proposition is its hefty price tag. Some also argue California already has tough punishment for trafficking. And Almodovar says Prop 35 fails to punish the appropriate people. Other opponents include exotic service providers and the California Council of Churches. Supporters of the proposition include the Democratic and Republican parties and many law enforcement organizations.
And that report from Phoebe Unterman with help from Emmanuel Martinez. Still 2 weeks to go before Americans vote for president, but the kids of this country have already decided. As it does every year, Nick News conducted a mock poll in which kids cast their votes. Evan Budrovich spoke to Nick News executive producer Linda Ellerby about the impact of the poll.
The votes are tallied, and the kids' choice for president is Barack Obama. Kids Pick the President registered over 500,000 voters, aged 6 to 14, to participate in the mock election. Journalist Linda Ellerby has been heading this program for almost 25 years.
The purpose of what we do in educating kids about the issues over the year and then holding this mock election for them is democracy's hard. We're the practice field.
Obama captured 65% of the vote. On October 15th, Nick News aired an interview with President Obama while Governor Romney declined to appear on the show.
We went to great lengths and worked very hard to make certain that in the show that aired before the polls opened, that Governor Romney was fairly and equally represented in time.
The kids also got the chance to rank important social issues surrounding the election. Education stood at the top of their list, while same-sex marriage ranked near the bottom. In the bigger picture, the kids have one big question for political leaders.
What they're asking for a president is, what can the federal government, what can you do for me?
In every election, except 2004, the kids have chosen the correct president. Maybe it is time to give the kids a vote. Evan Budrovich, Annenberg Radio News.
Bring out your sweaters tonight because the low will be a cool 54 degrees, but we'll be warming up over the next few days as the clouds disappear. Tomorrow we'll reach a sunny high of 74, and daytime temperatures Thursday will peak at 81 degrees. Nighttime temperatures will remain cool in the mid to upper 50s. Trashing China may be good politics, but is it good for business? We'll look at that question later on Annenberg Radio News. Most hobbyists don't want other people playing with their precious collections. Molly Atkinson wants you to come play hers. What's the point of pinball machines if nobody plays them?
My name is Molly Atkinson, and I own and operate Pins and Needles, the pinball club here in Echo Park. It was just always such a bummer because I've always liked pinball so much, and everywhere else I've ever lived, you could run to an arcade or a bowling alley or even a car wash or dive bar, and there was going to be a pinball there. But I would go to tournaments far away, and people would bag on me and say, oh, L.A. is the worst for pinball. I started it in my apartment, actually. I had one game I bought 10 years ago. I thought I could just ensnare a couple of my friends into coming by weekly and just having fun and make a few quarters that way. And the people are like, oh, when you get tattoos, it's hard to stop getting tattoos. And I had a way easier time stopping with the tattoos than I did with the pinballs. They just kept multiplying. On the older games, you know, wires break, solder joints come apart, and the parts for those are almost impossible to replace, and anyone who has them is going to charge a lot of quarters for them, let's just say. There's just something different about, you know, getting away from the touchscreen or the Wii or even like Pac-Man and whatnot. You know, some people come in, I have old men come in here and cry, like, oh, I met my third wife on this game. Or, you know, it's a fun way to meet people. There's a little community here and hard not to enjoy. Feel free to come by and drop a couple quarters and take some flips anytime. Play more pinball.
Much of last night's presidential foreign policy debate focused on the Middle East, but the U.S. relationship with China was also a topic of conversation. As Aaron Schrank reports, tough but tempered talk on China comes as Chinese investment is on the rise in Los Angeles.
The presidential candidates took a break from Iran and Israel in last night's debate to deliver some tough talk to China. Here's Mitt Romney.
That's why on day one I will label them a currency manipulator, which allows us to apply tariffs where they're taking jobs. They're stealing our intellectual property, our patents, our designs, our technology.
Both candidates have bashed China on the campaign trail, but they displayed more nuance last night, emphasizing the importance of the U.S.-China relationship.
And so we can be a partner with China. We don't have to be an adversary in any way, shape, or form. We can work with them. We can collaborate with them if they're willing to be responsible.
And we believe China can be a partner, but we're also sending a very clear signal that America is a Pacific power, that we are going to have a presence there.
Some China watchers say this talk is destructive. Thomas McLean is the chairman of Asia Society Southern California, a nonprofit that promotes partnerships between Southern California and Asia. He says that while troubling, the tough talk is politics as usual.
Bottom line, end of the election, our economic relationship with China is one of the most important. And all that talk will be forgotten, regardless of who ends up being our president.
This is because China is already a big partner in the U.S. economy, certainly in terms of trade, but also in investing in U.S. businesses. China's economy is growing at about 7.5%, a far cry from the double-digit growth that was characteristic of the country's rise. And as its economy slows, it's pumping more and more money into the U.S. This year, Chinese companies have invested a record $6.3 billion in U.S. projects. And California boasts more investment deals with China than any other state, which McLean says bodes well for the state's future.
And we think that it's just the beginning of what potentially could be a tsunami of investment coming from China.
L.A. County looks to open its doors to this flood of investment. Ferdinando Guerra, an international economist with the L.A. Economic Development Corporation, authored a report called Growing Together, which underlines the importance of the county's relationship with China.
And we've been marketing the county to Chinese investors very aggressively over the past 5 years, and that's paid dividends for sure.
Guerra touts Shenzhen New World Group, electric car maker BYD, China Mobile, and China Air as examples of companies that have helped create jobs in Los Angeles. Aaron Schrank, Annenberg Radio News.
It's a story you keep hearing. If you raise income taxes on the wealthy, they'll take all their money and go somewhere else. But a study released today by Stanford researchers says it ain't so. Melissa Runnels explores the issue with Chris Haney of the California Budget Project.
So we're talking today with Chris Haney of the California Budget Project about a new study that came out showing that wealthy taxpayers do not necessarily flee the state of California if you raise their income tax. Can you talk a little bit more about the study and why CBP took an interest in it?
There's this persistent myth out there in the policy ether that if you raise taxes on the wealthiest people in California, that it somehow results in the flight of these folks to other states.
That's keyed against a proposition that was approved in 2004 in California that did raise taxes on the upper echelons.
Right, yes. Sort of commonly known as the millionaire tax. It's based on Proposition 63 that was passed in 2004, went into effect in 2005. And what the researchers did was track the patterns of whether people who make more than $1 million were more likely to move after the tax was passed or were more likely to stay put. And what they find actually is counterintuitive. If anything, they actually find some evidence that there was more migration into the state.
And what do you think is the reason that, despite all the dire predictions, the very wealthy not only stayed in California, but continue to migrate into California?
People who come to California tend to do better from an income perspective when they're here than they do in other places. Now, granted, cost of living may be higher, but for most people, income levels are higher here while they're here. And so that tends to mean that they're less likely to migrate away from their higher incomes. But mainly the issue is that taxes aren't the key factor, right? The key factor in what impacts people's decisions about whether to stay or leave are, you know, the location of their job and their business, and then ties to family, friends, housing, et cetera.
Well, in the case of Northrop Grumman, when it moved its headquarters to D.C., a lot of its senior executives chose to quit the company so that they could stay here.
Right, and part of the reason that this myth persists, you know, when people are asked, you know, would having a lower tax rate make you be more likely to stay? You know, they give the obvious response, right? I don't think it matters whether you're a millionaire or whether you're in the lowest income bracket. You know, you're going to answer yes in that situation. But the amount of millionaires' income that's actually subjected to the tax over the lifetime of their earnings is 0.1%. So taxes are such a small fraction of their incomes, it's very unlikely that they would have an impact on where they choose to live or choose to migrate out of the state.
Okay, thank you so much for calling us today. I know it's been a busy day. Appreciate it, Chris.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
The study is intended to change the terms of the public discussion before the election on November 6th. The Los Angeles Board of Supervisors today approved more money for affordable housing, $11 million more. The money was supposed to be held in a reserve account to cover budget contingencies, but two supervisors proposed using it for housing to help an estimated 50,000 homeless residents in the county. Today, Apple CEO Tim Cook unveiled the new state-of-the-art iPad Mini. The Mini will run Apple's new iOS 6 software, packing 16 gigabytes and selling for $329. The 7.85-inch tablet will be released in stores across the country on November 2nd. And now we check in with Juliana Ruiz to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thank you. So tonight, a 60-year-old hotel in downtown will no longer be a part of the Los Angeles skyline. ATVN has more on the $1 billion plan to build the new Wilshire Grand Hotel. USC's URSC Advocacy Board started a campaign to bring back the free shuttle from campus to LA Live. Find out more about their petition tonight. The Federal Drug Administration is investigating five deaths that may be linked to Monster Energy drinks. A 14-year-old girl died from a heart attack after drinking two 24-ounce Monster drinks in one day. ATVN has more on her family's lawsuit against the popular energy drink company.
And that does it for us from this Tuesday. We had help today from Annenberg TV News, Emmanuel Martinez, and Sam Weiser. Melissa Runnels is our producer, and our executive producer is Aaron Schrank. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Josh Wu. We'll see you next week.